New York culture with real New Yorkers. Joan Hamburg, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
You know, do you ever really know what goes on in a relationship? The press is filled with stories of our president and his wife, who always looked like she swallowed something unpleasant. However, no one knows the reality. And today, more bad marriage news. Or recently, Channing Tatum. It caused shock, sorrow all across America. And former Mayor Giuliani and his wife, Judith, his third wife, actually. He had married, he said he didn't know she was a cousin, but whatever. I mean, it sounds a little weird when there were plenty of family occasions. However, we can't answer that. But James Sexton, who's a trial lawyer, who spent his grown-up lifetime so far dealing with divorces, has literally written a book about it called If You're in My Office, It's Already Too Late, A Divorce Lawyer's Guide to Staying Together. So you are probably not as surprised as people. They took the Channing Tatum thing. I've always been amazed at how personally people take celebrities.
Yeah, I think we look to celebrities on you know, to be sort of the dream life. You know, they're the dream life of our culture.
Right.
And so if they can't make it work with, you know, the potential for personal chefs and beautiful homes.
Yeah,
and
no money, you know, issues.
Yeah, I mean, what hope is there for the rest of us? I joked with, because of course, you know, all of my friends were calling me this morning. Anytime someone famous is getting divorced, all of my friends think it's funny to contact me. And I said to all of them, you know, that look, with abs like that and dance moves like that, like if Channing can't, you know, Channing can't keep it together, what hope is there for the rest of us? You
know, and the usual, where's good friends? This is a loving separation.
Sure. And look, I really hope that that's true. And I think it is true for a growing you know, population of people who are divorcing. I think you're seeing people who their parents had brutal divorces, and now when they're going through that process themselves, because breaking up, of course, is still hard to do, as hard as it was for their parents, they're trying to do it in a more civilized way, in a dignified way. But when you're dealing with celebrities, you also have to wonder, you know, how much of this is optics? How much of this is, you know, good PR people that tell them, hey, don't do a Johnny Depp. You know, don't let the end of a relationship spill out into, you know, personal details in public life that damages your career, that damages your marketability, and that really hurts you as a celebrity. So I hope that they're sincere in this. They have a four-year-old child together, and that's a real incentive. They're going to have grandchildren together someday, most likely. So they're really on this ride together. But, you know, we won't know for a long time if this is really the kind of split that I hope it is, you know, for their sake, because some people have done it. You know, you have the Gwen Stefani's and Gavin Rossdale's. You have the Demi and Bruce Willis, who remained friends,
right,
and good
co-parents. Right, because of all the children.
Yeah, and these are really good, what I call divorce role models for people. I mentioned in my book that, you know, divorcing people can look to celebrities who've done it right. And like Chris Martin, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow, they've done it right. You know, they do it with dignity. They do it in a way that doesn't damage their children. But again, we won't know for some time what's actually happening there.
Exactly. But you tell, there are a lot of examples in James Sexton's new book. One in particular, when a couple comes in and, you know, everyone's ready for blood or the throat, and you put a picture of their child on the table. That was really smart. I'd never heard
Thanks.
Of that before.
You know what? It's something that very early on in the process, a client actually gave me the idea, because about halfway through a very ugly negotiation, he took a picture of their daughter out of his wallet and he just put it on the table. Didn't say a word, gave it no context, but just put it there. And it had this immediate effect of just dialing down some of that anger and keeping everybody's focus. So I said, you know what? Why not leverage that? In that situation, it made sense. You know, it's not the right tool for the right task always. My job is very odd. You know, it's the kind of job where someone comes into your office and will say to you, I've heard you're a ruthless, vicious sociopath, and they mean it as a compliment.
Yeah, great
because,
lawyer.
Because that's what they want in a divorce lawyer. But the truth is, you don't want your divorce lawyer to be one type of person, either a warm hug of a person who keeps things focused on the kids or a vicious pit bull. Mm-hmm. You want a lawyer that brings the right tool to the right task, you know?
And understands the reality of what's possible. Another very public divorce, about to divorce, former Mayor Giuliani.
Sure.
And Judith, I was really interested in that because I was very much involved in Donna Hanover, the mayor's wife, when mm-hmm. he was mayor.
And that was an incredibly ugly public split.
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
That woman had no clue. And he announced it publicly at a press conference. What? Yeah.
It was litigated in such a public way, too. You know, there were restraining orders that were issued by the court
kids
regarding...
Kids were so hurt.
The kids were
that.
Young enough that they were really, unfortunately, collateral
hurt.
Damage. You know, the judge had to issue orders in that case where she wasn't allowed to be in Gracie Mansion, Judith. But the question I'm interested to see the answer to is he going to get better at this? He obviously hasn't gotten better at marriage. He's on marriage number three, and it's now divorcing. But has he gotten better at getting divorced? Because maybe he hopefully learned from divorce number two, which was public and expensive and really, you know, embarrassing to all involved. Maybe he learned some lesson and he divorces better and more privately this time. Or maybe he's learned absolutely nothing and it's just going to be another knockdown drag.
Well, we're going to see. Yeah. And of course, it makes good press. James Sexton, with the former mayor, it won't really affect his career, his mm-hmm. box appeal mm-hmm. at this point. But let me ask you, you do this thousands of cases. Are there issues beside the, you know, money, sex, whatever, that you hear time and time again? And if there are, can they be predicted? Why don't people go for pre-marriage counseling?
It's a great question. And you know, that's really what I try to talk about in the book. The book is really about what are, you know, the little things that people can do who are in relationships, ideally at the start of relationships even, or again, you're not in my office. What can you do to keep out of my office? So, you know, I think that people get divorced the same way that they go bankrupt, very slowly and then all at once.
Right.
You know, these little things, these little raindrops build up to the flood. And no single raindrop is responsible for the flood. But that flood is made up of those raindrops. So, you know, people will come in and say, I'm getting divorced because my husband's sleeping with his secretary. And that's an excellent reason to get divorced. But he's sleeping with his secretary because there are problems in the marriage. And again, whose fault those are is a different question. But how can we address those problems when they're small, before they become big? That's the question in the book. And I think there are some very practical things we can do. And the core of it is communication. You know, the core of it is sharing very openly and honestly with your partner in a very fearless way what's going on in your head and in your heart.
Right, because when we read this, I kept saying, well, I wonder if you can divorce-proof a marriage. Mm. And you do talk about communication. How many times people are shocked, you know, sitting at breakfast and a husband will say, he's cooking, what do you want for breakfast? And the wife says, a divorce.
Right.
The guy almost keeled over.
Well, you know, there's an example in the book where I talk about exactly that happening. And I really do, you know, you said earlier on that you know, we don't always know what's going on in people's marriages. I think that's true of our own marriages. I think the people
right.
in the marriage very often don't know what's going on in the marriage because they're afraid to have the conversation. You don't want to upset the equilibrium. Look, it's hard enough to get through the day. You know, you get up in the morning, you got to deal with the kids, you got to deal with your job, you got to deal with reality and bills and the stock market and everything else that's happening. So to then say, you know, I'm moderately unhappy with this thing you're doing on a general bit, that's a hard thing to ask of somebody. But the problem is if we don't do that, we get lost, and we get lost fast, and we lose the plot of the story we were trying to write together. Because that's all marriage is it's basically a commitment to writing a story together. And if you lose the plot of that story, one or both of you,
it
doesn't bode well. Yeah, that's how 53% of marriages end in divorce.
But with all your patients, your clients, and they are patients after a while.
They require patience, I'll
say that. You talk a lot about affairs. Does that signify really, from your experience, the end of a marriage? How many couples can survive someone cheating?
You know, that's a great question. And the truth is I'm not necessarily the best person to ask in the sense that by the time someone's in my office, it's already late. You know, and that's why the title is, if you're in my office, it's already too late.
Title.
But what I'll say is what the prevalence of affairs shows me, and it's really overwhelmingly the main reason why people get divorced is affairs. Or it's the presenting reason. It's why they say they're getting divorced. And I think that just tells me a lot about the human need for connection. That tells me a lot about how much people need to be loved, desired, connected, understood. They need to have someone who's their cheerleader. Look, the thing an affair has going for it that'll always beat a marriage is it has novelty and it has excitement. And your spouse is, you know, not going to after 10 years of marriage, 20
right,
years of marriage.
She already knows all the warts.
Right. No man is a hero to his butler. That's the old saying, you know, and the familiarity breeds contempt. And but what we have to try to remember in our relationships are those little things, you know, those little things that when we first were with someone that we liked about them, that we cheered for in them. You know, I think at heart, I'm a romantic. I think at heart, even doing what I do for a living, and maybe even as a side effect of doing what I do for a living, I really see how deeply people just want to be loved. They just want someone cheering for them. And I see how easy it could be to just cheer for someone.
Well, you make a big point of that when you talk about, can you really prevent all this stuff? And one of the things I think I remember reading was, you've got to be a cheerleader for your partner, for your spouse, no matter what. Now, if you were giving a lecture, or you were telling Lexi, our young producer, who may or may not have a serious boyfriend and may want to get married, what, you talk about five things in the book.
Sure.
What is the scenario that someone just about to go into a marriage should really know about?
You know, I think there's a lot you want to know about someone. I think some of it has to be very practical, because we think in generalities, but we live in details, you know. And I think, you know, just saying to someone, you know, I want to spend time with you. Well, time doing what? You know, what are your day-to-day habits? Because to some degree, your spouse is a roommate as well, and they're the most sort of close, proximate person to you. And sometimes the things that we find attractive in a boyfriend or girlfriend, they're not going to be good in a spouse. You know, I've had plenty of clients who, you know, were dating a musician, you know, and they love the lifestyle of being with someone who has a fast-paced life, and they go to clubs, and they get to do all that. Well, being married to a musician is a totally different thing. When you want to have children with that person, it's
and
a totally different
home.
Thing.
How right. about a chef?
You a give chef. I use the example of a chef. You know, it's great to date a chef. It gets you into the coolest restaurants. But do you want to be married to someone? I'm not trying to,
who
you know, unfairly.
Works every night.
Right, who works every Mother's Day, every Valentine's Day, every weekend pretty much. And again, I'm not trying to poison the well for chefs. I'm sorry.
No.
I still want to be able to eat in this city.
You have to be a writer or someone
but,
who
you
works
know,
at night.
The truth is, just be honest with yourself about what you're getting into. We give more thought when we're getting married to what cake we're choosing than who we're going to be with. And the analogy that I often say to people is, if I told you you could pick any car, you know, when you're a 20-year-old, 25-year-old,
different.
You would say Lamborghini, Porsche. Okay,
right.
If I said to you, but that car is the only car you get to drive for the rest of your life, do you want to be 70 years old driving a Porsche? Do you want to be, you know, have three children you got to try to cram in the back of a Porsche? So that's what a spouse is. You're picking someone who is exciting and interesting at 25, but they're going to have to be just as useful as a partner when they're 35, 45, 55. And that's really, really hard. And the other problem is, we've created a culture where if your spouse is not the best parent, lover, financial planner, partner, travel companion, roommate, all of those things, they're a failure. If they're not the best at all of those things, what single human being could accomplish all of those tasks for one person?
You got to read the book. If you're in my office, it's already too late. A great shower gift to give to someone. James Sexton, A Divorce Lawyer's Guide to Staying Together. Look, it could change your life or it could change your fate. I'm Joan Hamburg, and you're listening to WABC.